Welcome to Season 4 of the Lehigh Valley Arts Podcast, where we explore the local arts culture and community in the Lehigh Valley.
We'll be doing this through conversations with individual artists, administrators, musicians, poets, actors, and arts and cultural organizations. We'll discuss all types of mediums with the goal of enriching local arts culture.
3, 2. Yo, what's up, guys? This is Food Truck. I'm John.
And I'm Miles. We all have nicknames.
Take two.
Hey, we're a food truck. Welcome to this podcast.
Yeah, we took this thing over.
Yeah.
We commandeered.
My name's Miles, what they call me. Oogie Boogie.
Oh, man. My name's John, what they call... what do they call me?
Take three.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Food Truck. I'm John.
And I'm Miles.
And I'm Ryan.
Everybody in the band has a nickname. Miles is Oogie Boogie, I'm Bucket, and Ryan is,
Ray Bipper.
Ray Bipper, that's right.
Yes, I'm Ray Bipper.
Take four.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Food Truck. My name's John. I'm here with Miles and...
Ryan.
And we were just discussing how we all have very unique nicknames. What's your nickname, Miles?
Oh, mine's Booger Bear.
And Ryan, what's your nickname?
Ray Bipper.
And, John, what's your nickname?
Bucket.
Why do they call you Bucket?
I can't say it on the podcast.
Take five.
Yo, what's up? We're on a podcast.
Take six.
Hello, we are Food Truck. we're on a podcast.
Yeah, this is what we do now. We're not a band. We commandeer podcasts.
Yeah, we just take them over. We only interview each other, too.
But yeah, on this podcast, we ask the questions, and then we answer the questions, with more questions. Miles from Food Truck. Or Oogie Boogie, whatever you want to be called. What's your biggest influence?
What even is an influence?
Who is your favorite serial killer?
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Lehigh Valley Arts Podcast. I'm Ben, and this week I got to sit down with the band Food Truck. Food Truck is an indie alternative trio formed in 2017 and currently based out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They are comprised of Miles Hipsch on guitar and vocals, John Mackey on bass and vocals, and Ryan Flynn on drums. Miles and John were able to come in and sit down for our initial interview, and Ryan was able to come in later and give his thoughts on a number of the questions. You will hear this sound anytime Ryan is about to give his thoughts. That said, on with the interview.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. Been following you guys for a while, know both of you guys personally, so it's awesome to have you guys on.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We went to high school together.
Yeah, we did.
And we're both doing some kind of magical arts thing, you know, like, it's cool.
So there are two of you here right now, and there are three of you in the band.
Yes.
All right. So who's missing right now?
So we're missing Ryan Flynn, our drummer, our little drummer boy.
Yeah, he's working right now. He changed his work schedule, so unfortunately he can't be here, but he's here in spirit.
I want to start off by talking about how you guys found each other.
Me and John were working at Silver Creek Country Club, and we were food runners, and we just started talking one day, and we realized we both love music, and we started playing together a little bit.
It was a weird time in my life, because I had played drums for a long time, and I kind of fell out of love with music in the way of playing it, because I just got into other things and just a lot of life situations where I just wasn't playing drums as much. And so he found me at a weird time. He found me at a time when he was really getting into music and like just learning to play guitar and all this stuff. And I was kind of getting out of it almost or taking a break. And then it kind of reignited that spark for me.
I had just started playing guitar and he had kind of been playing music for a little while. So he was almost like a mentor in a way, but I was also like reigniting his flame and playing music, I'd say. So
yeah. And I think anyone that knows me personally knows I play like a little bit of everything. Like that's definitely one of my calling cards is like I can play drums, guitar, bass. And but the problem with that is like you never get really exceptional at one thing. And so that was always my problem was I was kind of a floater. I could just fill any spot in a band. But I was never like that amazing. But then when I met him and we slowly like started a band, we found Ryan, who was a better drummer than me. And like I said, as soon as we played with him, I was just like, oh, I'm the bass player. Like he's just too good, you know? So that's kind of how it started. That was 2017. So it's been 6 years I guess in October, it'll be 7 years.
Man, 7 years? That's amazing. You mentioned high school there. What instruments were you guys actively learning while you were in high school?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was probably like 15, but I really started taking it seriously when I was like 16 and met John. So
now, when you guys talk about learning instruments more and taking it more seriously, how did you learn to play the instruments? Did you have lessons? Were you self-taught? What did that process look like?
I think it was a little different for both of us, but for me, when I was really young in like third grade, I tried taking guitar lessons and I couldn't really like retain it. I think I just had like a short attention span. And then I got a little older and I was like, I always loved music. And I was like, oh, maybe I should really like try that again, like try that out again. And so I think when I was like 15, I got a guitar, learned a couple chords, just like watching YouTube videos and stuff like that. And I'm pretty much self-taught. Like, I'm pretty much just watch stuff on YouTube. And we had a guitar teacher in high school, Mr. Miller. He was like the music teacher, and he showed me some stuff too. So that was like a big awakening as well. So I haven't had any like super formal guitar training or whatever, but he was like a good mentor too. So
that's awesome. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Mr. Miller. We did a backstage episode at the Art Establishment with Doug Bame and Anthony Smith, and he came and we actually had a small interview with Mr. Miller.
Oh, cool.
Show. Yeah, awesome. Mr. Miller is very, very cool dude.
That was awesome. How about you, John?
So drums, I took lessons for a long time. Like, I took formal lessons for like 8 years.
Was that at Saugor Mountain Music?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And bass and guitar, all self-taught. So, but that's like, I wear that as a badge of honor. I'm proud of that. Like,
yeah.
Same thing with piano, but I'm trying to think the best way to explain it. But I started off self-taught, and when I took Mr. Miller's class, I learned some piano, but I already was like pretty fluent, just self-taught. And same thing with guitar. I took his guitar class, but at that point, I already knew how to play. So, like, I would still consider it self-taught, but I guess it depends how you look at it. But bass, yes, self-taught.
What was the kind of order of learning these instruments? So started with
drums.
With drums.
Yeah.
And then where did you go from there?
So my mom plays piano. My sister plays piano. My mom was a music major, and so she's pretty good at piano. And so pianos were always around. So I guess my first instrument was piano. Then my first like instrument I chose was drums. And then it was bass, and then guitar, and then kind of back to bass.
Nice.
So, but I kind of flip-flop. I just like music, and I think I never wanted to learn music to learn someone else's songs or learn how to read. All I ever want to do is make my own music. Like, sure. Even when I was a little kid, there's like videos of me like trying to put a song together or something.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted. Like, I never, like, we even struggle with that now sometimes. We have to decide on like to do covers because you're going to play a bar, you got to fill time, and
sure.
You know, and it's like, sometimes I have no interest, not because I think I'm better than other bands or something. It's just because I got into music to make music.
Definitely, yeah.
What does the writing process look like for you guys?
Sometimes John will write a song. Sometimes I'll write a song. Sometimes I'll write like a piece of a song and then bring it to them and we'll kind of form it together. 70% of the time, it's one of us writing most of a song, bring it to the band, and then like fleshing the whole thing out.
I think normally the best formula that works for most of our songs, like if I'm just going off the statistics of like most of our albums and stuff, it would be Miles brings like a verse and like a chord progression and like some lyrics, like a subject and like, you know, some substance of lyrical content. And like I'll add like a catchy melody or like a chorus. And I don't know, I feel like that's always the thing that clicks with us. You bring a really good verse and a really good like chord progression, which sets the whole scene. And then you'll have an idea for a pre-chorus or bridge, and then I'll figure out a way to add a chorus or something to tie it together.
How are you guys deciding who is singing?
It gets tough, but I feel like at this point, usually it's just like, I think you'd sound better. Like, it's like that.
Okay.
We had two different style, like, singing styles.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, most of the time, if it's something you write, you kind of wrote it, you know, in your way. So, like,
sure.
You're usually going to sound the best.
Yeah.
But there are times where I'll write something that's too high for my voice or, like, I just doesn't hit the same. And then I'll hear him singing and I'll be like, oh, man, like, you should just sing it. So it's kind of like that. We kind of just try to do what's best for the band.
Yeah. Well, in line with that, you both also have released music solo. So how does that get brought into the conversation of bringing things in, can't decide who wants to sing it, maybe it doesn't sound right for the band?
So usually what we do, I think we both do the same thing, is we'll write songs and we'll bring them to the band. And then if for some reason, you know, the other two aren't into it or something like that, then we'll kind of like, okay, like maybe I can use this for my solo stuff. And then, you know, I feel like we're constantly writing. So like eventually, before you know it, you have like 20 songs that are just kind of sitting on a shelf. So then what usually happens in my process, at least, is the, you know, 5 or 10 songs I really like that I can't just let them go. You know, I can't just put them in the vault.
Yeah.
I'll keep working on those on my own. But usually, I don't know. What's your process? Is it the same thing?
Pretty similar thing. I feel like, especially with like my most recent EP I put out a couple of years ago, I had a lot of stuff that was like a little more like stripped down, like kind of more, at first it was more acoustic, and when I recorded it, it is full band, but I don't know, I just felt like it was more like personal, it was a little more like I said, stripped down, and I felt like that didn't fit Food Truck at the time.
Sure.
Even though now it's funny because like a lot of our newer music is starting to sound, I think, like the stuff I was writing then. So it's weird how that comes around.
On the topic of this upcoming album, I'd love to hear more about how it was produced and recorded.
So this time around, so normally we record with Matt Mulchaney from Shards. For this album that we're working on right now, we actually brought Noah Reichard from the Redos, and he does sound for Arts Quest. And he's like a younger guy. I think he's 26. He's like my age, if not, maybe a little older. And we went to a cabin in New York with Matt, but we brought Noah along to kind of be like assistant engineer. And it went really well. The album, we're still working on it, but like we recorded the bulk of it and it just like really couldn't have gone much better.
I want to hear more about this this upstate New York recording session. Tell me, because you guys went up there for a week or so?
Yeah, we went up for 5 days. It right in Woodstock. Like it was this part called, is it West Socrates?
Yeah, West Socrates, New York.
Which is like 15 minutes from Woodstock. It's just, we go to upstate New York just as friends, like me, Miles, Ryan, and our buddy Jack, and sometimes our other friend Randy. We'll go like every year for the past couple of years, we'll go to upstate New York, and we just like have this thing with going there like late summer, maybe September, like early fall, we'll just go. And it's around his birthday. Miles' birthday is September 22nd, so sometimes we like make it a birthday trip.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that, and then I've seen bands do this thing where they'll record it in a different headspace. The whole idea of recording in some house in the middle of nowhere and, like, you know, just being locked in and locking yourselves in and, like, yeah. And like we never do that. We just go to the same studio with Matt, and we're always, like, laughing and having fun, and we're, like, almost too comfortable, and it's nobody's fault. But I was like, what if we do this? You know, not my idea, but I saw other people do it and kind of absorbed that. And I was like, what if we do that, guys? And Ryan was a little hesitant at first. Miles was into it. And then eventually Ryan kind of came around to it. And then Matt was really into it. And so was Noah. And then we did it. We booked like basically an Airbnb. And it was really cool. It was definitely worth it.
Yeah, I love the idea because like John was saying, we normally go up there anyway every year. And I feel like whenever we went up there, it was like this nice like way to like clear our heads, like around nature, like trying not to use our phones too much, like hanging out. And then we did it to record, and it was great. I think it was a good move for sure.
Yeah.
I just want to say we thought that this would be fun and work, and it was in a way, but it was also very work heavy. The one day we recorded a session from 11 a.m. to 3 in the morning. We were going absolutely wild.
Where are you guys at with the album right now?
So we're still recording it. So when we went to New York, we recorded like the foundation of the album, like pretty much all the guitar, bass, and drums. And now we're adding like extra vocals and like percussion and synths and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So like maybe like 80%?
Yeah, we're probably like, yeah, probably like 80%.
I'd say 80.
Okay.
Yeah. Ryan might disagree. Ryan might be like 75. Yeah. I don't know, actually. I think he'd agree with me on that one. But yeah, like you said, we're adding like the final touches, like the extra layers and the But yeah, there's some surprises on the album. I can't say too much because I don't want to spoil anything. But it's 10 songs.
Nice.
And we're working on a name for the album, and we're figuring out the album art and stuff, and we're trying to figure out like a date. But it's a lot of logistics, because sometimes you'll finish an album or something, and then you want to release it on like streaming platforms. But it's best if you wait 2 weeks, because then it can get picked up for a playlist.
Sure.
So it's like a lot of that, and then of course you want to build hype for it, and there's so many companies that will offer these packages where they'll like market stuff for you, mm-hmm. and like so it's like a million decisions, you know, like how to do it.
Yeah.
How to do it, right?
Yeah, we're like a weird spot because, like, before we never really did any of that stuff. And now we're kind of like, oh, like, you know, we put a lot of money into this. Like,
yeah.
We feel a little more like professional now. We've been doing it for a while. So, like, maybe we should get like a PR company, or like, we're kind of in this weird in between stage of like, what should we do, you know?
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable.
So we're still figuring that out. But either way, this is the best thing we've ever done. Like, each thing we do gets better.
Yeah.
But, like, this is, like, we went to a whole different level for this, whole different atmosphere, and then it's a full album. We haven't done a full album since Slow Bloom. So, like, it'll be, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow. We haven't had a full album in 3 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, but it's, like, I think it just blows everything else out of the water. Yeah. So, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I wish people could hear it now, but I'm also, like, it's not ready. You know what I mean? So, it's, like.
Sure.
Well, I'm super excited about it. I think these are our most dynamic and well-written songs. All the songs are very cohesive. They flow together really nicely. They make sense. Super cool. And I'm very excited for you guys to hear.
When it comes to this upcoming album, what kind of stuff are you guys pulling from? And how would you say that you're departing from the last two projects that you've released?
So our last project was called Shift, and it was an EP. And it was a 5-song EP. And I would say we just kept diving deeper into that sound. Like, we kind of stayed on the same course. It's not like, you know, Shift Part 2 or anything. But I would say we're going in that direction. We're just pushing that envelope further. And just, like, a couple life things. Like, we moved in together, like, breakups. I changed job careers. I went from a car wash to plumbing, which was a good choice, but it's the demanding job and tiring.
Sure.
And yeah. It's a lot harder than working at a car wash, at least for me, you know, to each their own. But just like a lot of life changes and growing up, like I'm 26 now, he's 24, Ryan's 27. And like we started the band when we were like 20, you know? So it's like a lot of things change.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just, that's kind of like a reoccurring theme with all of our albums, is always like growing up and all that kind of stuff. And this is just like another phase of that.
When I was listening to both of your last projects that are out, I noticed that there was a lot of sequencing of the softer and maybe a little bit slower songs at the beginning, and there was always something a lot heavier as you got toward the end.
We always do that because Ryan and Miles like punk music.
Yeah.
I'm not really like a punk guy, and we always end up throwing the dog a bone kind of thing. Like every album there's been a song like Shame off our last EP, or a song like PS off Slow Bloom, or even Meathead, which is off the same album.
Yeah.
And like those are like you said, they're like towards the end, and it's just like a totally different flavor.
Yeah. I think that normally happens too, because whenever we play live, I'm always like pushing for like, okay, let's start with like kind of a similar thing, like start with something a little softer, get people like a little engaged, and then like when you get to the end, like, really go as heavy as possible. That was always my, like, thinking, like, start, like, kind of at a mid-tempo or whatever, and then really put all the energy towards the end of the set, so it kind of gradually builds.
Yeah, and he always says, I want to save my voice. I want to save my voice.
And yeah, it's another thing, too, that's, yeah.
Like, that goes along with what you're saying, not just the energy thing, but, like, sometimes he goes really hard, and he doesn't want to push it too much. You don't want to do soft song, hard song, soft song.
Sure.
You know? And so, yeah, so I think sometimes we do the album like that, and I don't even know if it's intentional, but it is kind of cool because it does kind of sync up with our live scheduling of the songs, you know?
For sure.
All right, audience, you tell me. You guys want to hear heavier stuff from Food Truck? Yes or no? Let me know.
Now, I know when it comes to being inspired by other songs or artists that everybody kind of interpolates that differently, but you guys have a playlist on Spotify that you guys add to. So I'm looking at this, and I can also see who added the songs.
Ah, man.
So
that takes away the mystery.
So, John, you're wearing a Mom Jeans hoodie right now.
Yeah, I'm and a on this, big Mom Jeans fan.
On this list, you have Edward 40 Hands by them.
Yeah, that's like their biggest song, but I just think that sounds like us the most. Out of all their songs, that sounds like Food Truck the most,
yeah.
Or at least we sound like them the most, you know, in that regard. And I feel like that song is really good. Even though it's probably their number one song, I think.
Sure. And, Miles, you have Days by Television on here.
Yeah, it's kind of that's definitely like a deeper cut for sure. But we kind of all have varying tastes. So, like, this is where, like, the disagreements will start. Like, I'm not a huge Mom Jeans fan. Like, I don't really love Mom Jeans.
Poor taste.
But I understand, like, you know, why they're good and, like, why John and Ryan like them, stuff like that. And then I have bands like that too, like Television, they're probably not as into, but that's like
I actually like Television, like not my number one of your bands, but like I like Television. I think that's one of the better ones you like.
Cool.
There,
I didn't know that.
I don't know what bands you like that I don't like. I'm sure it'll come up.
Yeah,
well, you're wearing a Sonic Youth shirt right now.
I do like Sonic Youth a lot too. Yeah.
Sonic Youth is cool. It's one of those where I think they're cool, but I wouldn't cover one of their songs for the band. But, like, here's a good one. Misfits. They like Misfits. I'm going to get crucified, but I don't really care for the Misfits. I think they're good. But, like, I don't really care about covering their stuff. Mm. But some of their songs are so big and so catchy that, like, we'll cover it. Like, that's a compromise. Sometimes we'll compromise. Like, me and Miles like The Cure a lot.
Yeah.
And Ryan, it's not that he doesn't like them, but he doesn't really, like, listen to The Cure.
Mm.
And, like, so now he's starting to kind of come around, I feel like, with that one. But
yeah,
for a while, that was a good compromise. He would do a Cure song. And
yeah,
now I think he actually likes Cure. But for some reason, he didn't. I think he just didn't know who they were or something.
Yeah, it's really funny because there's, like, a lot of stuff that we like that, like, we hate. Like, there's stuff that John likes that I don't really like. There's stuff that I like he doesn't really like. Or with Ryan, yeah, too. But there's also, like, weird overlap sometimes where, like, there's certain pockets of music that we all like. Like, The Cure is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, New Order or, like, something like that.
I was just
like,
going to say that, yeah.
Like, I like New Order. That stuff's reflected in our sound a lot.
Weezer. We're huge Weezer fans.
Nice.
Nirvana and Weezer are, like, those are, like, our top two agreements, I'd say. Just because I think we all just like the 90s.
It's when we started, yeah. I feel like that was, like, our foundational, like, 90s, a lot of 90s stuff for sure.
Yeah, nice. Definitely are big 90s guys. We definitely grew apart from that. Like, we just, as a band, we kind of just developed our own sound and kind of moved away from that. Because that was, like, the beginning. So, we're just evolved. We still love Weezer and Nirvana, but now we're, like, at a different point.
So, our tastes are definitely very different. And there's definitely overlaps, but for the most part, it's all mixed around, all very different. And it's, like, a blessing and a curse. Like, covers are so hard to agree on. Like, it's a fight to the death trying to just pick a cover song. And just, like, sometimes the direction of the band gets pushed and pulled different ways, and it can be really tough. But it's also amazing because I truly think that our songs sound pretty unique, and you can't exactly pinpoint, like, directly influence that song because it's three different unique places coming to one to create this unique sound. So I think that's cool because it makes us very original because our tastes are different, but it also makes things tough for covering songs and just getting things all lined up correctly.
When it comes to the way that you guys are bringing this inspiration to the sound of your band, like, I know that people can get inspired by the way that a band deals with a certain subject matter or just the tone that a guitar makes or the snappiness of a drum on a certain song. When it comes to influences that you may not be the biggest fan of that the others bring, like, how are you able to interpolate that inspiration into your sound?
Sometimes Ryan does, like, double bass, like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, that's
kicks.
A good example, yeah.
Yeah, like, me and him aren't really, like, honestly, growing up, I was really into metal, but I would never play in a metal band. I don't, like, that's just not me. It's not my style. There's nothing I play that's even remotely close to, like, a metal bass player, you know? But just because it's not me. It's not my style. But he'll add, like, double pedals sometimes, but he does it in a tasteful way.
But
normally, if someone asked me if I was forming a band with myself being the bass player and, you know, singer, I would be like, absolutely no double pedal. Like, if someone asked me if I was making the rules, but the way he does it is tasteful and it works.
I feel like recently, too, he's into a lot of like hardcore music, and I'm into some hardcore as well, but John's not as into that stuff. And I think he adds a lot of that into our songs as well, which is like a weird mix for, I think, some of our new music.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's softer moments like from us, but then he's kind of playing the drums a little harder, so there's like this weird juxtaposition, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, I think sometimes he's driving and we're cruising. Yeah. That's what I say. So
yeah, I play loud and I play hard, and I usually am ahead of the beat a little bit. So yeah, I definitely am the conductor, I would say.
How do you guys bring that to the live experience? Like, there is a difference between the way that a song sounds when you're playing it from a recording and the live experience. Like, what makes you guys excited about the live experience, and how are you thinking about the live presentation of these songs when you're working on them?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just getting the audience engaged. Like, you want them to be having fun, you want them to be moving around. And I think if you do something that's a little different than, you know, maybe some of what the other bands are doing, I think people like that.
Yeah. I guess this question's more for you. When you're working on balancing a full rhythm section versus a lead section on the album, like, how are you either morphing the two of those together or considering what would be best for the live experience?
It depends. Like, I do a lot of stuff now where, since we're a three-piece, like, I kind of have to adjust the way I play guitar.
Okay.
So, like, I'll do some stuff where, like, I'm almost playing, like, rhythm and a lead at the same time. Like, our song's so distant. It's all kind of built off a chord, but, like, I'm doing a riff at the same
dissecting
time.
Dissecting the chord.
Yeah, so, like, dissecting chords to make riffs and stuff like that. So I try to do a lot of that stuff before we even record, so I know I can play things live. Or if it goes to, like, a solo or a riff, I just play the solo or riff rather than having the chords behind it as well.
Because,
like, when we record, you know, sometimes I'll add some extra rhythm or extra lead in certain parts. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I play pretty loud, so I feel like sometimes if you do a solo, I'll just step on a pedal, like just like a fuzz pedal or something.
Right.
So it kind of makes my bass kind of blend more and sound more like a guitar, because now I'm distorted.
Yeah.
And so, like, now my volume's up just a hair. So kind of like, I don't know, I feel like the way we do it, I know where he's going to be, he knows where I'm going to be, so we kind of like balance.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going to say something. I just want you guys to react to it and start the conversation from there. Live at the truck stop.
When we moved in together, probably like a year and a half ago, we started doing house shows in our basement. And it was really cool, because when we first started playing, that's where we got our start. Like, we played in house shows and basements. And for a long time, a lot of them kind of fizzled out. Like, there was no real, like, house venue in Bethlehem. And so we started one, and it, like, took off, like, right away. Like, we've had a lot of different bands play there. We've had some bands play their first show ever there. So I don't know. It's been pretty cool. We've kind of been taking a little break from it.
It's been awesome. But yeah, we took a break because we're doing the album, and we also just want some time.
Sure.
But we're going to start it up again.
Yeah, I absolutely love that we run a venue out of our house. That's like DIY ethics to the core, right? I'm so thankful that we can do that. And I miss it. It has been months since we've done one because of the album. And I can't wait to get back up and run it again. It's just so much fun. It's a party every time. It's exciting. It's just a good time. You should come out. We also had someone do tattoos in our kitchen. So let me know. Let us know in the comments if you have a tattoo from our kitchen. Truck stop.
You, Miles, and I all went to high school together at Saucon, which is in Hellertown. And earlier you mentioned living in Easton. What were your thoughts on moving from Hellertown to Easton?
It was a really cool move. I was really hesitant about moving to Easton. Just because I was like, this is far from what I know, which is so silly because it's not. And I actually, when people ask where I'm from, sometimes I like slip up. I'm like, I'm from Easton. And I'm like, wait, no, I'm not. But it's like my adopted home. Like, it's where the band started. And it's where I kind of like, I started working in the car wash, which I loved. I learned so much about just doing a different type of job. Like, I never had like a more blue collar type job with that. Mm-hmm. And then I got into plumbing from working at the car wash. It was like,
nice.
So yeah, Easton just opened a shit ton of doors for me.
Yeah.
So I definitely like, I take it as my adopted home.
Nice.
Sure.
So we've got Easton, and you said you grew up in Hellertown?
Yeah.
So we got Easton, Hellertown. You guys live in Southside now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
For sure. So what
we love Lehigh Valley. So.
What's your draw to Lehigh Valley? What makes you guys wanna be here, operate here, live here?
Well, growing up in Hellertown, like, I remember in high school, like, when I was able to drive, I would always go to Southside. Like, that was, like, kind of my adopted home in a way. Like, I loved going to the skate park because I used to ride BMX.
Oh, nice.
So I'd hang out in Southside. I always thought there was good restaurants in Southside. Just, like, the whole, like, you know, the whole, and also the whole band scene as well. Because at the time, we were playing, like, house shows.
Yeah.
That's where Lehigh start.
So, like,
Lehigh house shows, yeah.
Which is so weird because that's right by where we live now. Like, there's, you know, there's Lehigh kids on our block. It's just funny, so...
It's literally full circle. Well, that's what Miles was saying earlier, was when we first started, there were a ton of house shows that you could just play. You know what I mean? Like, you just had to know someone maybe or introduce yourself, and you could just play a house show. And, like, you didn't get paid 90% of the time, but it was fun, and it was exposure. Mm-hmm. And you met people, got free drinks, you know? Like, it was cool. It was just, like, a really cool thing. And after COVID, I think that's what did it. All those house shows kind of fizzled out. And then that was our idea once we kind of, like, solidified the house in Southside. We were like, we should do something like that. And then we came up with the truck stop.
And by then we started playing, like, in more in Bethlehem, too, like the fun house, stuff like that, moving on from just, like, house shows, too.
You said something interesting there, which is you didn't get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to making music, that obviously costs money.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys find the money to record and release projects?
A lot of it's so we'll play shows, like, and some of them do pay, like
now
that we've been a band for a while, you know.
Yeah,
you normally we get paid, like, okay for shows, like, especially if we play a bar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is just, like, you know, we don't keep the money when we play shows. We put it all back into the bands. It's all just okay. Like, we just reinvest everything back into the band, and that's how we're able to afford recording and, you know, merch and stuff like that.
We never take a cut. It's like he said, we just recycle it, and then that's how it works. Like, you play a bar gig, and, like, let's say you get paid $500, and all that money will go into our next recording session. And then if we want to buy shirts, that'll front that. But sometimes we'll put our own money into it.
Yeah, for sure.
But now that we're older and we make more money, it's, like, not as hard as when we first started. It was really hard because we would record, and Matt's rates were actually cheaper at that time, because this is, like, 2018, I think.
Sure, sure.
And I remember being like, oh, like, you know, 25 an hour or whatever it was, I don't remember, and being like, oh, that's a lot, you know? And now it's like, we can record an album, but it's not that we have all the money or something, but we can more so take our time now because, you know, we make more money and we're adults now, and it's, like, a little bit nicer.
Mm.
But I remember in the beginning, we were like, we don't have enough to do another song, you know?
Sure.
But it's all part of the journey, you know what I mean? I wouldn't change
definitely.
It.
Being in a band is so expensive. Please give us your money. We are so broke.
What's a highlight memory for each of you when it comes to playing?
We played this place called Groovier, and we were standing on top of our amps, and we're in this little kitchen. Like, they converted their kitchen into, like, where the band plays.
Oh,
and then the rest of, like, the living room was, like, where the people stood. And the place was, like, I'd have sold out, technically. It's a house, but, you know.
It was packed.
It was, like, 100 people in this little house.
Yeah.
And, like, we were standing on our amps, and, like, we were a three-piece, and it was really tight in the kitchen.
Wow.
And, like, I don't know. I remember just getting, because he always gets an urge to, like, jump in the crowd and do stuff. And, like, that's not my thing to do, but I remember just getting this urge to, like, fly up on my amp, and then it was awesome because everyone was into it, so it was a great feeling.
We were like, there's a fridge right next to me, and I was handing out, like, White Claws from the fridge, something like that. It was
fun. That's awesome.
But yeah, we used to jump on our amps a lot, and then one time, this is a good, I guess this is kind of a bad highlight,
good,
but
bad,
it's funny. We used to do this thing where, you know, we get excited, we jump on our amps, and the one show we were playing in Reading, and I jump on top of my amp, and it starts to, like, wobble a little bit, and it just totally, like, toppled over, and I fell, like, and really messed my ankle up.
Oh, man.
It was terrible.
And then we had a show the next day, and he had to wear an ankle, like,
I think a boot on.
Yeah, a boot. It was kind of cool, though. Oh, no, we had, like, multiple shows with the boot.
Yeah, I had to play a couple shows.
It was, like, a busy week, and he got hurt on the first day of, like, that busy week. It was funny, though. Yeah, like, I look back, and I'm like, that was, like, oh, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Reading. We love Reading. Reading is, like, the scene there is very, very receptive to food truck.
That's awesome.
Every time we play there, there's a really cool group, like, music scene and stuff, and great people there.
Yeah.
And, like, every time we go there, it's like they give us so much love.
Yeah, it'll be like the same groups of people too, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's like we'll play around here and it's like, you know, a lot of our friends and people we know, and it's awesome. You know, it's great around here too, but to go somewhere else and you get treated, you know, kind of the same way is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have a following show up that aren't your family and friends and be like, oh, people really like this.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So we love playing Reading.
I agree. For whatever reason, the Reading music scene is just so awesome. They're so nice to us. Every time we play there, it's like a great group of people. So much love. I love playing there. Also, Lancaster, they call it. Lancaster is very cool, too. We played there for our first time a couple months ago, and they're really receptive to us, too. So, Western PA, love you guys.
Now, you guys have played with a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Who are some of your personal favorite bands that you guys have played with?
There's a band called Mush, and they're not a band anymore, but when they were a band, they were so freaking good.
Mush is great.
They're from Stroudsburg. Kind of like us, like three kind of laid back, goofy guys. And I think that's what made us hit it off so well. There's three just really cool dudes and then great musicians. So I'd say Mush.
Pale Fang. I love Pale Fang.
Oh, nice.
It's hard to name all of them. We're from Nartica. That's a band we played with for a long time. I think our first show was with them, or it was like one of our first shows was with them. Because they were from like where. I was telling you before, my mom lived in Easton, and so the band kind of started out in Easton just because that's where I lived, and that's where they're from. So we just played so many shows with them. I don't know how many shows, but a lot. So they're a great band regardless, but we just have a good friendship. So
yeah, it's cool. Over the years, we've like became friends with a lot of these bands. Like we got friends with like Catatonic Sons and We're From Arca and like a lot of these local bands. So it's cool.
Yeah, there's still a lot of good bands. It's really hard to name all of them. I know there was a band called The Scissorfish, but now they go by This Holy Rodeo. That was a band that kind of came up when we first started too, and they're still a band. They're really good. They're up in New York City now. Laurel Canyon, that's a local band. They're really good. Trying to think what else. It's like
it's
I said,
tough to
it's
like
the tough, yeah, because I don't want to leave anyone out because there really is a lot of really good bands.
Yeah.
So, Service Dog. Well,
yeah,
now they go by Felt Right, but I can't forget to mention them.
Yeah.
So, Service Dog or Felt Right, great band.
Yeah, like John was saying, there is so many amazing and diverse bands in the Lehigh Valley. You'd think that, like, in, like, a town, like, maybe genres would be similar, but it's, like, not. Like, we have so many different genres just here in the Lehigh Valley. Shout out to Pale Fang. Come on. They're on top of the game. They're killing it. They're crazy. God bless them.
When you're producing music, right, there's also other supplemental media that needs to be created or can be created, like music videos, album covers, social media content. How do you guys handle that?
Ryan is our Instagram guru.
Yeah, he does like the posts, and then I do, I guess, creative stuff. Like, I'll make some flyers, and like, I've worked on some of our album covers and stuff like that before. That's a great question, though. Like, before when you asked, like, what got us into music, a big thing for me was like, I feel like music ties together all the media and arts. Like, you know, you have to make an album cover, that's visual art. You have to make music videos, that's film. And like, I feel like that's a really cool thing about music is it ties together all the art forms.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's a great way to put it. Usually with the social media stuff, that is one of Ryan's like main things. Obviously, great drummer. He's our best friend. But that's like another thing that he likes doing, but he's also good at it. And so he runs a lot of the social media stuff. And he's always really into like, oh, let's make TikToks. Let's this. Where
yeah.
are like anti-TikTok. We're trying to come around to it. We have been. But
yeah,
you know what's crazy about it is we barely do TikToks. And we have one TikTok that got like over 100,000.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe it's like more than that now. Because it was really out of nowhere. We weren't even like promoting it heavy. We literally just posted the video.
Yeah.
And then before we knew it, we're like, holy crap. Like, you know? This is cool. So maybe we should maybe this is a sign we should do more TikToks.
Yeah, I actually enjoy doing like the PR and business side of it. I just find it invigorating. I find it interesting. I think it's fun. I got that fire in me. I got that drive, you know? I like the music business side of things, even though it can be stressful sometimes. It also helps that I'm addicted to social media, so it's like not hard for me to, you know, be up on Instagram, stuff like that. But I'm working on it.
You guys have some killer band photos. Do you guys work with someone pretty exclusively, or do you guys work with someone consistently?
We've worked with a few different people, but recently, this is a good story too. So we met this guy, Derek, his Instagram's tumbleweed photographer. I'll give him a shout out because, you know, he's worked with us a lot. We met him like a few months ago, I think over the summer.
Derek, tumbleweed photographer, is friends with Yusef from My Brother Below. He's the guitar player. And we're good friends with Yusef and the whole band. And that's how we met Derek, right?
I think so, yeah.
At least that's how I met him. We met him before or something.
I think I met him at the fun. I think I met Derek at the fun house.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met Derek and then he started taking photos for us. And we're like good friends too. We hang out a lot. And
now we're neighbors.
Yeah. This is a funny story. So we're hanging out at the truck stop, our apartment. And we're out front just hanging out. And our neighbor comes out. And our neighbor happens to own a house across the street, and they were like, oh, is anyone like looking for an apartment? And Derek at the time was looking for an apartment, and he's like, yeah, like I am, like I'm really interested. And they brought him over that night, and now he's like our neighbor. It's crazy, like he lives right across the street.
Yeah, he lives across the street. It's so funny. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah
Derek, tumbleweed photographer, he's the man. He'll get you at a good rate. He's professional. He's a quick turnaround for editing. So yeah, I highly recommend him for your band or for whatever you need for portraits or what have you.
What are each of your favorite music videos that you guys have done so far?
Honestly, I was showing my girlfriend, who we started dating a few months ago. So like, she's missed out on some of the food truck lore, like the early stuff, because we've been banned so long. So it's like, it's kind of fun to fill her in on some of it. And she does music too. So it's like, you know, just like a fun thing. And one day I was like, oh, like I never showed you like the music videos? Because we haven't done one in a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
And like some of them are like not bad, but like you can look at it and rip it apart, you know, because it's us, you know. Not if it was someone else's music video, I'd be nice. But because it's us, I'm like, ah, we should have did this. We should have did that. And we have three music videos. We have Saturday. We have Weekend Trips. And then we have Groom. And Groom was the most expensive, I guess, / we put the most work in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Groom is almost my least favorite. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
But Weekend Trips is my favorite. I watched that one the other day, and that one was the one Miles made. And it's just random clips of like us traveling and playing shows. And the way he did it was nice. It just worked really well. And it was like a really home vibe feel. Yeah. I don't like the Groom one, because the story is confusing. Like, you watch the video, and you try to figure out the story. And I know what the story is supposed to be, because, you know, we, like, wrote it. We made it.
Yeah.
But it's too confusing. Like, we should have put subtitles or something, like to kind of tell, like, help guide the story. The story is confusing. I feel like people are very nice to us, so they won't tell us the truth. But I feel like the truth is the story is confusing, and it doesn't make sense. And Saturday, I like the second most because it's just super cute, because it's our first video and it's like us, like we have no idea what we're doing and you can tell, but it's so innocent and like, you know, and it's a good song, you know. But
yeah,
Weekend Trips is actually my favorite, and Miles made it, and it cost nothing. So
I watched all of them yesterday, and I would agree with that. I think Weekend Trips was my favorite too. It does. It feels like you're watching a home video with just a little bit more production value. Because you guys have the driving. Is it in Boston?
I think that was actually in upstate
New York. The lyric is Boston.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we were in New York. We were in upstate New York.
Okay. Yeah. Like,
or it might have been New York City.
I think it was upstate New York.
It was just upstate New York. Okay. But we didn't go to Boston. The story, when he wrote the song, he was seeing a girl that went to school in Boston. But he did have the idea, I think, in the video of like, let's show a clip of like a city.
Yeah,
but it was actually New York.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we were just we're passing New York or something, because there's definitely a shot of a city, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we gotta watch the video.
Yeah, it's been a while.
When it comes to the current state of music consumption, I know that streaming is a big thing. What are you guys' thoughts on streaming, and do you guys have a preferred place that people can listen to your music that gives the most back to you guys?
I mean, we used to sell CDs, and that's a good way of, like, you know, that's, I guess, the most profit you'd make off, like,
sure. So we're definitely gonna do that again.
Yeah, but
this album,
you know, I like the idea of people being able to listen to our music for free. I think that's really important. And our stuff is on Spotify and like Apple Music and stuff like that, but it's also on Bandcamp for free. So like, if someone that's listening wants to listen to it for free, I'd say go to Bandcamp. But if you have Spotify or Apple Music, you know, we're on there as well. So
yeah, we don't make like any money off that.
Yeah. No,
so unbiased, the answer is just whatever you can listen on, you know. Yeah. But obviously, I think I could speak for Miles. I'm a Spotify guy, and so is he. So like, that's how we listen to most of our music. But I do think it's really important to like go to live shows and buy records and buy CDs.
Yeah.
There's nothing merch, like a cool record, man. Like,
shirts. Oh, yeah.
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 Like, I'm a record guy, and like, I don't know. I buy like new records. It's funny. People are like, oh, you know, like old records? I'm like, no, I like rap. Like, all my records are like rap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's all like, it's like Kendrick Lamar or something. Or
yeah.
Schoolboy Q or something. It's like brand new pressed.
If you guys were to think of like something totally out there that you've been inspired by, it doesn't even have to be music, but like something that the average person that knows you, they would hear you say and be like, wait, what? How does that make sense?
So there's this author named Robert Greene, and he has a book called The 48 Laws of Power.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to a lot of like audiobooks, because Spotify, you can listen to like books.
Yep.
And I've been on that kick for a while, like Tony Robbins, like life coaching, but also just inspirational books, finance books, all that stuff. So I've been getting a lot of inspiration from like more so books, but like kind of business savvy books, like someone who's like an entrepreneur would read.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like people wouldn't expect that from me. So I've been on the 48 Laws of Power kick. Super interesting book. Basically just tells you how to like be a more confident person and how to like, you can dismantle like any situation, and it just tells you the laws of life, the laws of power. If you want to be a powerful person, this is how to do it, you know, A through Z.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a book where you can just take what you want from it.
Sure.
There's some laws and stuff that are like a little too much where I'm just like, like that's not for me.
Sure.
I'm not that kind of I'm a soft personality, but like there's some stuff I learned where I was like, wow, that makes sense. So
yeah.
Good book.
What about you, Miles?
I think like photography like inspires, and like art inspires my music a lot. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to think of like an album art and stuff like that, like I feel like the image is really important. And sometimes I'll see like some like photographer's post or something and like relate it to a song, or like,
yeah.
I've been getting more into photography, and like I'll take a picture and be like, oh, that kind of like, to me that looks like this song, or like sounds like this song.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So I think the tragedies of life can be inspiring for music. As crazy as that sounds, I think some of the best art can be made when you're, you know, depressed or sad or down. Because, you know, life is just full of horrible things that happen to you and your family and your friends and everything. It can be so overwhelming and just, it can feel so hopeless. But when you have art, it's like this, it inspires the art, and it's therapeutic to make art through the sadness and through the pain. So I think that's something that, you know, might be surprising, is like there's a silver lining to like the tragedies of life.
So what are you guys most looking forward to in the coming months?
Finishing the album and releasing the album.
It's always like a relief to put something out and just kind of like be done with it in a way.
Sure.
You know, you put all this work into it and you're like, all right, now it's ready for everyone to hear or whatever.
Closing out, where can people find you guys on social media, both as a band and individually?
So our band is Food Truck Band on Instagram, and then my Instagram is just Miles Hipsch, my name.
Yeah, my Instagram is the same thing. It's Miles Hipsch. I'm just kidding. Now, my Instagram is John Mackey, but it's like John Mackey with two Y's, because someone else took my name first.
So John Mackey.
There's another John Mackey, yeah. I think all of our things for Food Truck is always just Food Truck Band.
Nice.
My personal Instagram is Ryan Flinstagram _, and you can find us on Spotify just at Food Truck. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate everyone who listens and supports us. You know, it's, even though we're not, you know, crazy successful or famous or whatever, it's still like so cool to be able to do what we do and meet new people from different areas, and all the relationships that we've made has been so cool so far. Love you guys.
Food Truck, thanks again so much for stopping by this week. Our opportunity of the week is for the Spring Thing presented by The Avenue. This fun night will include performances by Just Say When, Food Truck, and Willowbrook. The doors open at 7 and music will start at 7:30. This event has free admission, but is 21 and older. DM any of the bands involved for the address. Hope to see you there!
Thanks for tuning in to the Lehigh Valley Arts Podcast. Don't forget to like the podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on both social media and streaming services at Lehigh Valley Arts Podcast.